passion and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
Great to check in with Matt Hayes, who is about as plugged in as anybody in the SEC. Also hosts a very popular show in Jacksonville. Get his takeaway from the weekend. And Matt, thank you very, very much. Let me start with Gators. We've heard from a lot of dogs today, and they're feeling good. But where is the Florida Nation after another painful loss to the Dogs?
You know, I mean, honestly, Paul, I think it's a situation where they don't have anything else other than to be patient. And, I mean, they see the recruiting that's going on right now, the fact that Billy Napier's starting to build some elite classes. You know, if that's what you want to hang your hat on, that's what you hang your hat on. At the end of the day, though, you got to go out there and win games, and you got to go out there and put a product on the field that can win. I think the most glaring thing for me, Paul, honestly, is I think that game last weekend, the cocktail party, kind of showed just how completely flipped the rivalry went from what Spurrier was doing in the 90s and the early 2000s with Meyer to where it is now with Kirby. Georgia used to be the team that would panic in the first quarter. Remember the onside kick from Mark Richt? Remember that play? And just the crazy things that Georgia would do. And now Florida's running a play on fourth and half a yard where they're snapping a ball through the quarterback's legs to a tailback who's trying to throw the ball. I think that's where this rivalry is right now. And if you're Florida, you're not only chasing Georgia in 2 years when the divisions are gone, you're chasing Alabama, you're chasing LSU, you're chasing Texas, you're chasing Oklahoma, you're chasing Texas A&M. So the hill gets a lot steeper next year for Florida. So, I mean, I think the Gator fans right now, Paul, honestly, are uneasy, but the hope is better players are on the way and they can stick it out and ride it out with Billy Napier.
Yeah, and I think that's all you really can do. And again, I parachuted in and out the other day, but that was the sense in talking to Gator fans. Matt Hayes with us. Matt, you wrote an interesting column today that may have disturbed some people in the SEC, because you paint a picture, again, everything's speculative, that the SEC could find some pretty big bumps in the road in relation to the CFP as we get ready for tomorrow night. Explain.
Well, I mean, Paul, obviously we've got to start with the foundation of this thing is tenuous week by week. It always is in the playoffs. Just like when you think you have it figured out, everything changes. But I think if you look at if chalk happens, and chalk never happens, but let's be honest, if LSU beats Alabama and LSU gets to that SEC championship game and beats Georgia, you might be in a situation where you're looking at LSU's resume against Florida State or LSU's resume against a one-loss Big Ten runner-up or LSU's two-loss resume against a one-loss Texas or a two-loss resume against one-loss Oregon. That's going to be a difficult spot to put them in. I'm just not sure that Georgia – if Georgia loses to LSU, I'm not sure you can sit there and look at them and say, all right, well, they went 12-0. Because at some point, Paul, we've talked about this for 10 months now, 11 months, the non-conference schedule could come back and bite them. They played no one in the non-conference schedule. And again, this has to be underscored, Paul. They could have played someone. They could have played Oklahoma on the road. Would it have been smart? Probably not. But they could have. They didn't need to just completely pull out of the game and add a directional school, but they did. So, I mean,
one thing about that I didn't understand, and I've asked the AD. I mean, Greg Sankey told us that he called the game off from a road standpoint, but Josh Brooks, I believe he told us a couple of weeks ago that they briefly explored a neutral site, and I'm really not sure why they didn't choose one.
I don't either. Or honestly, Paul, the way Georgia's roster is built, just go to Norman and win by 24.
Well, but I don't think the league wanted them to do that. That's the only thing I'd say. But again, it doesn't make any difference now. We are splitting hairs about
right, right. You are, we are, right, right.
What about
I mean, they're in a difficult spot right now. There's no doubt. They have to win out, and the SEC needs Alabama to win out and Georgia to win out, and then the winner of that game is a guaranteed lock.
Speaking of that game Saturday night, it seems like Alabama, you know, was on the verge of getting written off, and they've made this heroic comeback. And you know, some are obviously, you know, the odds are not indicating much difference between these two. If you give home field advantage any weight at all, but what do you make out of this game?
I don't know how much LSU's improved on defense, Paul. Honestly, I mean, we're talking about two games against two offenses that have trouble getting first downs in Auburn and Army. So I don't know. You know, they said they've done things structurally. You know, they moved Harold Perkins back into a situation where it's just see ball, get ball. And they're playing more simplified coverages back there. But, Paul, at the end of the day, they're going to have to stop Alabama from basically playing bully ball on them. And I don't know that they can. Now, they can score points. There's no doubt about that, especially if they can protect. I think it's going to be a fun game. I think it's going to be a last possession game.
Yeah, and again, I think for LSU, they would be happy to get it to a final possession game, especially if they have the ball. Matt Hayes with us talking about the SEC. This question comes up a lot. You do a talk show in a market that concentrates on so many different schools and especially pro sports, and it's about the SEC and where it is right now. And you mentioned a minute ago in relation to the CFP, but how would you evaluate the SEC this fall so far?
Well, I mean, honestly, I think if you're looking at this league, the loss LSU had to Ole Miss, I think, kind of startled everybody. Because if LSU doesn't lose that game, then you're kind of right where everybody expected. I mean, you kind of expected LSU to beat Florida State as well. So I guess I'm kind of saying LSU is the reason why people are looking downly at the SEC, because if you look at across the entire conference, Missouri's had a nice comeback. Texas A&M is another one of those teams that kind of did not play up to par. But no, I don't think that the SEC is considered down. I think the fact that you lost a couple of those big games early, especially the non-conference games, makes everyone double take a little bit. But now we're into November. You know, soon we'll be into the bowl games where you're going to get the SEC against these other schools. Then you're going to really see how far they've come in 3 months, and of course the playoff.
And you got a couple of SEC schools that are not normally in trouble in November, fighting literally for postseason berths, and that's a subplot that's not entertaining too many people on the top shelf. Which brings me to the biggest story in college football, Matt. And when I first heard it, it seemed over the top, but the more information that comes out, I mean, it just gets more disgusting by the day, whether that matters or not. And that's the Harbaugh situation at Michigan. What do you make out of it?
You know what? I'm a little uneasy about the whole sign stealing thing, because these coaches every year have voted to not allow the headset communication, because they want the sign stealing, and they want the signs, I should say, and they want to be able to sign into their quarterbacks, because they want a sign steal, Paul. That's what it is. So I'm not as concerned about that as I am if I'm Michigan. Okay, you already have one investigation with Jim Harbaugh about illegal contact with players during the COVID season, which, oh, by the way, was the very thing Harbaugh alleged that Ryan Day did at Ohio State. Now you've got a second investigation. You've got his constant dalliances with the NFL. You've got a contentious relationship with the AD there, Ward Manuel. That's what I think is a bigger deal with Michigan right now, is how, at what point does it become diminishing returns for Michigan?
Well said. Always great to hear from Matt Hayes. Matt, thank you very, very much. We head to the break. We still have one more conversation about the Missouri Tigers. Yes, they go to Athens this week to take on, at least for now, the number one team in the country. That could change in about 27 hours. We're back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We are back, and let's check in with Quinn, who is up next. Good afternoon, Quinn.
How you doing, Paul?
We are doing well. Thank you.
Paul, I just want to know, yeah, I met Bear Bryant at Troy's Barbecue up at Fulton there.
Oh, did you?
I know you from Birmingham.
Right.
Do you know where Troy's Barbecue was on Highway 31?
I sure did, yeah. You better believe it. I used to live out there.
Yeah, buddy. Okay, thank you. But I ain't going to talk about that. I'm going to talk about this. I'm an Alabama fan, always been there. But we're going to need some help, Paul, on this Alabama going to the Final Four thing. I went to school with Les Fowler. I don't know if you know him. He was a medical doctor.
Les was the orthopedic surgeon, wasn't he?
Yes, sir, he was.
Sure, I knew Les.
And then I went to school with Kendrick Burton.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. But anyway, Paul, I don't see it happening this year, buddy. I love Alabama. I don't see it happening. I see us getting close, but next year's going to be the final straw. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to forget, Quinn, all the noise that we heard in mid-September. And I don't want to take anything away from this ride because I think Alabama has really come back well. But I think Saturday night is going to be that defining moment. I think assuming they get past that, then I think it's you show up in Georgia and you see what happens.
Paul,
but this is a big one.
But, Paul, I do not see it happen this year for us, okay? Roll Tide, roll, but
yeah.
I don't see it happening, buddy.
Well, Quinn, I'm not giving up yet. I'm holding the rope.
You know what? I met Bear Bryant at that barbecue place up there. Yeah, Troy's Barbecue. I met Bear Bryant up there. I was about 12, 13-year-old kid.
And what?
He's a big old boy
so when you place. When you met Coach Bryant, what happened?
I tongue lashed. I mean, he's a figure just like.
He was a big old guy, Quinn. I mean, he wasn't like a small coach.
6'3".
When you met Coach Bryant, I mean, he put those big claws out there. You knew you were talking to somebody important.
You know what I'm talking about? Oh, Nick Saban. I love Nick Saban too, but
yeah,
Nick Saban, Bear Bryant, coach Cotton Farmers. You know what I mean?
Oh, sure.
And Nick Saban coaches I don't know what it is, but I love Nick Saban too. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, yeah, we all do.
But it is two or three generation difference.
Well,
okay?
There's a difference. I mean, Coach Bryant was a product of the Depression era, and Nick Saban, not that he grew up in a perfect world, but it was a lot different. And he brought some of those principles over here from West Virginia. Well, hey, thank you for the call. I remember that barbecue place well. Don't you, Randy? No? Okay.
No, I don't.
I don't either. Stacy is up next. Good afternoon.
Paul Feinbaum. AC from Bangladesh. Shut up. You don't supposed to tell a man to shut up. But shut up. You tell me you want Alabama to fail, and you can't wait till they fail. Well, there's a lot of people that want snow in July. Just shut up, man. But anyway, Paul, I had to get that out of the way. Now, to you, Paul, I got to get on you today.
Okay, get on me.
What are you talking about? What are you talking about? What are you talking about if Alabama wins, if they don't lose this game? What are you talking about, Paul?
I'm just trying to be nice to, in case Brian Kelly still has the TV on in his office.
That's the problem. Don't be nice. Say it like it is. LSU going to get whooped. Say it like it is, Paul.
Okay.
Paul, you divert.
Randy, repeat after me. LSU
is going to get
whooped.
Roll Tide.
I knew we'd get that.
Now, Paul, is another thing. There's another thing I got to say, Paul.
Okay, another thing.
Now, Paul, you might get mad at me about this,
okay,
Paul.
Okay, I might.
You ready?
Yes, sir.
Heather Dennett. She gonna be the reason that we have another Georgia versus TCU beatdown. I understand that Georgia has a weak schedule. But Georgia is Georgia. If you put Ohio State, if you put Michigan, and Florida State, if you put them in the SEC, they will not. They will have at least two losses by now. Two losses. Now you tell me with Michigan, Florida State, and Ohio State, if they were to face a one-loss Alabama right now, who coming out victorious?
Bama. Roll Tide.
Thank you, Paul. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
RTR. Whatever you want me to say, I'll say it. We're here to please on this show. We can't afford not to. Mike is in Georgia. Hello, Mike.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call. Man, you're looking sharp today, dude.
Thank
you. Rocking that tie.
Thanks.
Want to agree with one of your previous callers, Eddie from Florida. I do think Alabama's going to beat LSU. But me being a die-hard Georgia Bulldog, I just want to say, Gators, we didn't just beat you. We dominated you.
Oh, yeah.
We ran the ball. We passed the ball. We beat you on special teams, and we sure out-coached you. Can you spell dominated, Gators?
D-O-M-I-N-A-T-E-D.
You got dominated. Now go home to your little den and wait till next year. Okay, next thing is...
By the way, I have to make this observation. Usually fans are complimentary after a game. There's something about this Florida-Georgia deal that the Georgia fans are just like rubbing it in the Gators' face. Have you noticed that?
Because they do it to us, Paul.
I like it, by the way.
They do it to us.
Okay.
It's a cyclable series. You know, one team doesn't win a game. Then the next team wins the game.
But
goes
I mean, at this
series,
point,
cycle,
in recent years, Georgia has pretty well owned the Gators.
Amen. But that wasn't the case in the 90s.
Okay, well, I know
you
that.
Know, I remember they did own it. But on to another topic. We got a different animal coming to Athens, Georgia this Saturday. Missouri is good.
They
have a good passing game, good running game, and they have a very good coach. It's going to be interesting. I think the SEC championship is still going to be Alabama and Georgia. Or let me rephrase that, Georgia and Alabama. But this Missouri team is going to be tough. We're going to have to play our best game of the year probably. But love your show, brother. And if you want to any comment about any Georgia Bulldogs, I love to hear. You have a good day, brother.
Thank you, Mike. Logan is up next. Logan, how are you?
Hey, Paul. Been a while, buddy. How are you doing?
Logan, are you out on bail? Where you been?
Yeah, I've been working, Paul. You know, that grind of the capitalist society, they make me work, and I haven't been able to call in lately.
I am so sorry to hear that, because I hate people that have to work.
I do, too. It sucks. Sucks, Paul. But, hey, man, I need some help. I need some reassurance. I haven't called much this year during the season, but my Tide has got me scared every game here, and I just need you to reassure me that we can win this LSU game. How do you see this going? I'm very nervous about this. I don't know if we can hang with these guys score for score. So
well,
I need you to reassure me.
I don't want to like overdo all the talking points, but I did not like to hear if you're LSU. I'm all the injuries, Mekhi being out, so many others. I think they are really thin, which I think sets up well for Alabama.
Okay. Well, that makes me feel better. I just, I'll be honest with you, man. I really haven't enjoyed this season. It's been, you know, teeth clenching every game, and it's just, hasn't been a fun year to watch.
But I think Alabama's been on a roll, Logan, it's a nerve wracking roll. I get it. And I think Saturday night, the whole season is going to come to a crescendo one way or the other. And I don't know any more than you do, but I can't figure out the most important part. And I just don't see how, I don't think it's going to be a typical LSU game where they score 40 or 50 points. I think if Alabama can stop Jaden Daniels at all, they're going to win the game.
Yeah, that's what I'm worried about. Maybe they have a plan for him. I know last year he ran all over us, so we got to do something. We're going to have a spy or something to keep this guy from running. That's what scares me is his escapability.
Well, he's got that, but, and he's got two elite receivers at least. And I think you know the one thing that has concerned me about Milroe is you know how he handles the pressure, but I don't think he's going to see what he has been seeing. I think his game sets up pretty well against this LSU defense.
Yeah, that's the one thing we got going for us is I think Milroe can – I think if he stays focused, I think we could get it. But, hey, thanks for reassuring me, Paul. I feel much better now. I knew I needed to call you.
The line is 3.5, so, I mean, if you're an Alabama fan, you have to load up on the Tide, don't you?
Yes, absolutely, man. If I was a betting man, I would go crazy right now. But
Alabama?
Yeah, okay, I like Alabama.
Okay,
but
you put $5 down, and if we win, so you can just give me $250 next week.
All right. Sounds like a plan, man.
Hey, Logan, calm down. It's only a football game. nothing more important than just the biggest game of the year in college football. Let's not make this thing. Adina is up next. Hello, Adina.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Listen, I want to talk about some LSU history football, but first I've got to tell you a funny story.
Okay.
So my girlfriend and I that are going, we're going to the game Saturday. We're going to go down and eat lunch with Nick and then go to the game. But I found out who you were in South Beach when Alabama was down there playing for the national championship. And we were walking down the street and we call each other Brush. Because, bro, there's Feinbaum. I said, who's Feinbaum? I have, that is when my life began. And I started following you. I've called him a couple times. But let me tell you something funny. So I find myself at 61 single. So I thought about doing one of those little dating site things. So the picture that I put up of myself is the one with you.
Oh, my goodness.
But it was at a kickoff classic, and it's beautiful. It's me and you. And I figured if any man cannot appreciate the fact that I'm standing with Paul Feinbaum,
I think that
if he ain't good enough today.
That is so cool that you mentioned that. So have you met anybody through this service yet?
Well, let me give you one quickie, and then I want to get to this LSU stuff.
Okay.
The first person I met said to me, hey, how would you like to go to an Alabama football game?
Oh,
I noticed you like football. I said, that would be great. He said, okay. We rolled into that stadium. You know where we rolled up to?
Yeah.
His suite.
Oh, my goodness. The guy had a suite?
I've had some. I won't mention names, but it was incredible. And the only time I've ever been in a suite at the game, but it is kind of funny because you're amazing.
I'm assuming, Adina, this guy has some bread.
Yeah, he does. He's got a. If I mentioned, you would know. But
I'll go ahead and mention his name.
It was just bad timing.
I mean, why would a guy care that he goes on a dating service and has a date and he owns a suite and he mentioned his name on just some little old show? He wouldn't mind, would
well,
he?
Well, I know, but I'm trying to keep people's
are
privacy.
My question is, are you still seeing losers out there?
I'm like, well, I'm not a loser.
Are you still seeing him?
No.
Oh, well, go ahead and mention his name then.
I had a bad boyfriend then, but
give me a clue. I mean, is he from Alabama?
Well, his grandfather started a military institute.
Oh, I know who he is.
And he owns an accounting firm.
Can't believe you went out with this guy.
And a very nice guy. It was just bad timing.
Well,
now, so I'm not going to disclose that on national radio.
Okay. I don't know who it is. I hate to embarrass myself. I'm just having fun.
But we're going to be down there Saturday, and we're going to be looking for you. But what I wanted to say was, I love the caller that talked about the 92 Sugar Bowl.
Right.
Because I took my son. I lost him 3 years ago, but I took him to that game. He was 10 years old, and I saw George Teague, do his thing. And I said, now, son, you can't be talking smack because, we're probably going to lose this game. And the only thing I heard that night was, it's a Canes thing. It's
oh, wow.
a Cane, you know, the whole deal with what's his gig. And so about halftime, it just broke loose. Well, I got to go on the Alabama Crimson Tide cruise, and it was the 92. It was George Teague and them. So I got to hang out with them on the cruise, and that was just incredible.
Adina, that's truly one of the greatest nights I've ever experienced as somebody covering Alabama. That was a shocker. Alabama was a prohibitive underdog. Hey, thank you very much for your story. We'll be right back with much more, including a conversation about what's ahead in Athens this weekend.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And when we last talked to Carrington Harrison out in Kansas City, there was some debate about whether Mizzou was legit or not. We say hello to Carrington now. And Carrington, it seems like with this big game against Georgia Saturday morning, things are looking up for Mizzou. What are you hearing from your base out there?
Things are absolutely looking up. Paul, first off, I appreciate you having me again. Paul, I felt a little empty the last time I was on because I didn't remind Arkansas fans that we are better than you. Since we've joined the SEC, we played 9 times. Missouri has beaten you 7 of those times. All the Walmart money in the world cannot help you beat Missouri. I know that hurts you when you go to bed at night.
Yeah, I'm sure it does. And by the way, right now, Arkansas can't beat anyone, Carrington, forget Missouri. But back to Mizzou, we had Drink on the other day. He feels pretty confident. He had the bye week, and now it's on to Georgia, then Tennessee, there's Florida. I mean, there's a lot to slice and dice the rest of the way, but what chance do you give them in Athens Saturday?
I mean, I give them a chance. I mean, Georgia's the best team in the country. It's funny because I don't know if Georgia has played like the best team in the country, but the one week in which we really question if Georgia still had it against Kentucky, they absolutely huffed and puffed and they blew Kentucky's house down. Georgia's been a very odd case this year. I give Missouri a chance because of Brady Cook. I give them a chance because they might have the best skill position player in the country in Luther Burden. And I give them a chance because of that defense that has really played well since the LSU game.
And I agree with all that, but as we look through the previous 8 or 9 or 10 weeks, I mean, I'm saying, okay, what have they done? Well, they had that nice win, come from behind, special teams play, which ignited them over a good, but certainly not an upper echelon Kentucky team. They beat K-State, which I think is looking good right now. It's more your territory than mine, but is that enough to base a feeling that they can go into Athens and do something that, quite frankly, hardly anyone ever does?
I mean, Paul, I mean, that I think that's the question that we're all going to figure out. I think we're all asking the question about Missouri. Is Missouri good, or are they taking advantage of an SEC that's not as strong as the top as we've seen? You know, we've seen some great Alabama teams. I don't know if this is one of those kind of teams. LSU has been stronger in years past. There normally is 5 or 6 SEC teams that you think have a legitimate argument for the college football playoff. It doesn't feel like it this year. I do think this is one of those tests. You and I talked the last time I was on here about sort of proving yourself in the SEC. Kentucky is a good team, but that's not the caliber of team that a Georgia is, that a Alabama is. Can Missouri go into this game and compete? I mean, Missouri is a 16-point dog in Vegas. I don't know if there's an expectation for Missouri to win, but can they be competitive in this game? Can they make this a game heading into the fourth quarter?
Yeah, and I think what we're going to hear all week is what happened last year, when I think the best way to sum that up is that Missouri just snuck up on Georgia. Georgia was gliding along, being told how great they were, and Missouri got them, and Georgia had to pull out some Houdini tricks. But this Georgia team seems a little bit different. It's already stumbled a few times, but when there's a big game, and we saw that against Kentucky, we saw that over the weekend in Jacksonville against Florida, and we're going to see it again this week and the following week, it feels like they do show up. I'm beginning to wonder if that's good for Missouri, because Missouri really, I haven't seen it. I haven't seen them score what I would call a really major signature win in a while.
I mean, this is certainly a game that you're going to believe Georgia has circled because of what happened last year. I think you're underselling Missouri, how competitive they were last year against Georgia. That was a game I think Missouri should have won last year against the best team in the country. They controlled the game for about 45 minutes. Corey Schrader had a long run, should have scored. They had a turnover late there. They just made too many mistakes in the last 15 minutes of that game, and it felt like Missouri was playing not to lose the game instead of trying to win the game, and I thought that did them in. I mean, if you're Kirby Smart, the message is simple. Hey, this team almost derailed our dreams last year. You know they're coming in here focused. Missouri doesn't have anything to lose in this game, so I think that's a really easy message. But you and I are on the same when it comes to Georgia. I mean, I would say Ohio State's been better than them. I would say Michigan's been better than them. I would say Florida State. I would say Washington. I actually think Oregon has been better so far this season than Georgia. But whenever Georgia has needed to show that they're the best team in the country, they did so against Kentucky.
Yeah, and quite frankly, I think that's what makes them so good is that they've slopped around against South Carolina and Auburn, two not just inferior teams, but vastly inferior. But they just seem like they were a little bored. They're not bored anymore. When you look at this Georgia schedule with Missouri, I mean, Florida was an appetizer, but Missouri, Ole Miss, and Tennessee, even Georgia Tech is playing better. So, I mean, I think this is where the action is. Final question, Carrington, about drink. Assuming this game goes like the Vegas odds makers predict, what does that mean? He's still got a chance against Tennessee. He's got Florida. He has Arkansas. As you've already declared that a win. Are fans feeling much better about drink right now?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't know if you can expect any team in the country, like not just Missouri. I mean, I wouldn't put Alabama to go into Georgia and win this game this week. I wouldn't put LSU to go on the road and beat Georgia this week. I mean, we're talking about a Missouri team that has been hovering around 6-6 since Eli Drinkwitz has been there. And we think they got a chance to win 9-10 games, maybe play in one of those New Year's Six bowl games. So that is a tremendous step forward from where they've been. They got the number one defensive recruit in the country with Williams Wanneri. So there is certainly a lot of hope and optimism around Missouri. But, I mean, you talk about one of those signature wins. I would say Drinkwitz needed to get over the Kentucky hurdle. They had beat Missouri 7 of the last 8 years. And this is one of the biggest hurdles that you could possibly have on the road, 230 against Georgia.
Well, Carrington, Mizzou already has 8 wins, even though the record is 7-1, because you declared the win over Arkansas at the end of the season. Carrington, thank you very much. Great to see you again. We'll talk soon as we head to the break right now. Much more to come on this Monday afternoon.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We are knocking on the door of Read and React, the Halloween edition, coming up here shortly. If you're Augie from New Orleans, what do you get dressed up as on October 31st? Good afternoon.
I'm going to come as a happy LSU fan, which is something I'm not been much of this year. And, Paul, did you see that BK gave Saban some bulletin board material? Did you hear what he said during his interview with you?
I probably missed it.
So you were talking about birthdays and age. BK said Saban looks good for his age.
He did say that. The reason I asked him that is about a year ago we had him on, and we did the birthday deal as well, and he took a crack at Nick.
Well, I don't know his relationship with Nick, but I think they're pretty okay with each other, don't you?
I would guess that there's a lot of mutual respect. I mean, they're both of the same generation. They both have accomplished an enormous amount. It's not like Nick Saban being on the same level as take your pick.
Exactly. Now, you know, what's really hard to believe, Paul, Saban is now 3 years older than the Bear was when he passed away.
I agree with you on that. And the difference was this. Bear Bryant at 69 looked 89.
Easily.
I mean, he had tire tracks in his face. I mean, it was
he did.
And part of the reason is this. You know, he grew up in a much different era. And
sure.
He lived hard.
He did. He did. He definitely came from a different era. He was a throwback. And he's the kind of guy that made America great. So always had a deep admiration for the Bear. He always terrorized me as a kid. But even the people at LSU, they loved the Bear. The Bear was representative of the SEC in the South. So we loved him.
He and Saban are similar in that it's an event when your team goes play and plays their team. And I've never I've covered the sport a long time. I've never seen a sight quite like Bryant walking out before the game, leaning up against the goalpost, you know, with a phalanx
yep.
of
iconic
cameras around him. I mean, it gave you chills.
I got to see him close up his last year, 82. LSU played Alabama in Legion Field.
Oh, yeah.
We beat them that day, 20-10.
20-10. It was the game that broke Bryant.
Well, he came out, and I remember Tommy Wilcox was on that team. He was from Metairie, from Kenner, from Bonneville High School.
Oh, no, absolutely.
And Jeremiah Castillo, I think, was on that team. And who was the quarterback? I can't remember his name right now.
Walter Lewis was the quarterback.
Walter Lewis, that's right. But never forget, I got pictures. Yeah, I got pictures of him, and it was a highlight of my college days in football. But Paul, I got a question for you. I'm gonna play a game with you. How well you know your callers, and I'm gonna imitate a few of them.
Okay.
And the first ones are gonna be easy. Maybe one liner. I want you to see if you can identify them. First one, Big Paul, looking good, sounding good. How you doing, Big Paul?
CD, Cat Daddy.
All right, this one's easy. This guy's got the brain as big as a sparrow. Woo!
That is Larry from Shelby.
Yeah, right. I said a brain as big as a bird. So
I knew it right then.
Hey, Brother Paul, how you doing? I want to talk about Texas A&M recruiting.
Maddie Ice.
Roll Tide, roll, Paul Feinbaum. Roll Tide, roll, Paul Feinbaum.
That's our friend up in Red Bay, Joe.
You're getting a little harder now, Paul. Hello, Paul. I'm going to keep this to 35 seconds because I know you don't like to talk to me.
Miss Pat.
Paul Feinbaum, that LSU going to slam that Alabama. Hey, Paul Feinbaum. They're going to need some duct tape to hold that season together, Paul.
Mr. Dwayne from the Big Easy.
Okay, this one might be a little harder, Paul. Paul, I've got a few things I'd like to address. And when it comes to NIL and the transfer portal, and then you have a long dissertation on the transfer portal.
What did you say, Brams? Brams thinks it's Hugh and Deep Gap. What about you?
Hugh from Deep Gap. Yeah. That's the one. This one might be a little easier, Paul. Paul, great show Friday. I was watching it with my daughter. Love this segment with Dr. Keenum and his perspective on NIL.
The one and only John from Louis. Well done.
You're bad
that was good. I passed the Feinbaum caller quiz.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.